is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
I call all the shots, rip all the spots, rock all the rocks, cop all the drops. I know you're thinking now when all the ball is stopped. Never home, gotta call me on the yacht. 10 years from now, we'll still be on top. Yo, I thought I told you that we won't stop. Now what you gonna do with a crew that got money much longer than yours and a team much stronger than yours? Violate me, this'll be your day. We don't play, mess around, be DOA. Be on your way, cause it ain't enough time here. Ain't enough lime here for you to shine here. Deal with many women, but treat down fair. And I'm bigger than the city lights down in Times Square. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is Mark Weber. This is Strictly Business tonight on Always in Fashion. We talk about so many different topics on this show: fashion, luxury, retail, culture, and life. Sometimes politics. After all, like me, our president is a former CEO. That song had a line in it that meant a lot to me tonight: calling the shots. Hold on that for a second. This world spins on its axis. The very nature of the world is chaos. Yet we don't feel it. We walk on the earth comfortably, confident throughout the day, throughout our life, managing the twists and the turns. The world may be spinning, but we're unaware of it. It's in control, but not our control. That's what's so scary with global warming. It's happening. We might be able to make some headway, but we're not calling the shot when it relates to that. So much in life we march through thinking we're in control, but are we? So much is preordained. We think those decisions are ours, but not really. We go to college. For most Americans, it's not a question. We go to school. We get a job. It happens. We get married. We have children. We're really calling the shots here. Are we? In relationships, there's that constant battle, overtly or subconsciously, about who wears the pants. When you ask someone out on a date, after the date, are you calling the shot? In business, are you the seller or the buyer? Who's determining whether or not that deal is closed? The reality is, you can't call the shot. You get in life a chance to estimate, plan, calculate, develop, consider, and execute. Can you accelerate or decelerate these decisions? Your pace can increase or decrease. You can strategize, imagine, anticipate. All of this you can do. You know what you can't do? Do you know what you can't do? You can't call the shot. All you can do is actually, you can envision and execute that shot. Babe Ruth, in his case, was one of the first ever to try and call his own shot. Let me play something for you.
Well, I looked down at center field and I tore it. I said, I'm going to hit the next pitch ball right past the flag pole. Well, good Lord, it must have been with me.
Babe Ruth called his shot. He pointed to center field and he hit it and he called the shot. Now, the truth is, the wind, the weather, the climate, the spin on the ball had something to say. He can take that shot, but generally speaking, you can't call the shot. I'm fascinated by, I'm frustrated with, but I'm compelled to talk through the concept of you can't call the shot. Tonight, this show will look at the phenomenon associated with ideas and planning, recognizing no matter how well thought out you are, you can't call the shot. Oh, you can take the shot, but you can't control the outcome. Speaking on this subject, the great guy, a lawyer and co-conspirator on the show, and my son, Jesse. Hi, Jesse. Another night talking conceptually.
So talking conceptually, I think it's pretty creative. Makes you use a different part of your brain. I kind of like this. It's interesting that you can't call the shot. But if I heard you correctly, it's you can't predict the outcome. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't try, right?
Well, that's why you get the big bucks. You can predict. When you plan, you're in effect are trying to predict the outcome, but you can't call the shot. It's only a prediction and a guess. You're never in total control. But yes, Jesse, where is life without trying?
So it's funny. Every week you come back with this idea of how you came up with the show. You give the listeners an insight into what you did. Oh, I was walking down the street. I saw a sign. It made me think of this. I don't know. Your mind works in mysterious ways. How did you come up with this theme of you can't call the shot? Did you try to do something and realize that it wasn't going to turn out the way you wanted?
No. The answer is doggies.
Wait, what?
Doggies.
I don't really know how that applies to this.
Well, okay. What does New York and women have in common?
Well, a lot of women have dogs. You see that a lot when you're walking down the street. But again, I have no idea what that has to do with you or the concept of the show.
Well, that's the story, isn't it, huh? I'll tell you. I've been quite cultural in New York of late. I've found some time to be an observer of life and decided to just walk the city. I began walking up Fifth Avenue, and one day I found myself at the Guggenheim Museum.
I know that one. That's they had that shootout in that Clive Owen movie, The International. Clearly, I've never been in, but I remember it because that was a really cool scene.
Well, I did enjoy that movie with you, and it was a great shootout scene. But that's not the point here. And although I do enjoy walking through that abstract place and what an amazing building, I saw an incredible exhibit of a woman named Hilma Le Killint.
There's no way that's the way it's actually said.
Her name was Hilma af Klint. I think she was probably German or Norwegian or whatever. I'm not the one to tell you what I was looking at. It was
Chinese,
abstract art.
Japanese.
It was really different. And I enjoyed being there. But I did, more importantly, as you said before, I did get a chance to observe people. Now, I've noticed that lots of women I'm finding have dogs in New York City. I never noticed that before. Maybe it's because I spent most of my time in the business districts and not walking up Fifth Avenue or Madison Avenue. But nonetheless, this residential section of the city had women walking with dogs. And here's how the story went for me. After I left the museum, I look right, continuing to think about going north, and then I look left, thinking south. And as I was doing that, a big black doggy came up to me and kind of curled against my leg. And attached to him on a leash was an attractive brunette with pretty much the same color hair as the doggy. After the sorry and the no problem, I kind of petted the dog and I kind of liked her. I thought about dogs and here we are talking you can't call the shot.
I'm still lost. I don't get how this has anything to do with the theme.
Are you in a rush? Am I boring you?
You're not boring me, but you might be boring the audience.
Hey, listen, I'm telling a story. Everything I do goes back to business. This is a business show. Did I ever tell you the story, Jesse, of dog food?
If you start telling me that you've tried it, we've got bigger problems on the show.
Gee whiz, what do you think? I'm nuts. Give me a break.
You're like, oh, it tastes just like chicken.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, this is close. Once upon a time, I worked with a guy who came out of packaged goods, one of those companies like Colgate-Palmolive. They're really, really well trained. And what they really do well is developing a product from scratch, marketing it and bringing it to market. And I want to tell you a story as it applies tonight to Can't Call the Shot about business, life, and dog food and doggies. Because you asked where this idea from the show came from? Right then and there when that doggie rubbed up against me. Anyway, back to this guy. He was working for a company that was in the dog food business, and he was charged with launching a new product made from, I think it was fresh meat. Don't hold me to it, but that's not the point. Anyway, they had a new product, fresh, healthy ingredients, new for dog food. Now, those of you who have dogs, those of you who walk your dogs, those of you who love your dogs, of course you're interested in the most healthy food you can get that's right and nutritious for a dog. And here they are developing a wonderful product that would be great for doggies. they developed also a wonderful, cheerful package, exciting and excelling on all the virtues of this new innovation. Now remember, these are not designed for the dog, the package. They're for you to catch your attention, to know that you're doing something great for the dog. They price the dog food competitively, he explained to me, because remember, they're selling to us and we have to see the value. He told me the company bought out the shelf space for premium exposure in all the pet stores and all of the food stores like Key Food and Food Town and Whole Foods. Does Whole Foods carry dog food?
I don't know. I'm too busy looking at the tandoori chicken section.
Well, let's assume they do. They bought out the shelves to make sure the dog food in that store would have the perfect positioning when we came in to buy the food for our doggies. And lastly, and most importantly, perhaps they created a clever yet important and very expensive advertising campaign to catch your attention and share the healthy significance of this great new product with all of us. This was a lesson in consumer product development and marketing. And he explained to me this whole thing, and I was fascinated. And I was fascinated by the approach to it. Jesse, here's a question for you. You care to predict the outcome of this story?
I think you use that model in your business.
Very, very good guess. But no, that's not the story. They put out this product, and they did everything right. It was healthy, great package, priced right, positioned perfectly in the store. Marketed and advertised. Perfect. There was only one problem. The dogs didn't like it.
How can you ask a dog? How do you do tests for that?
The dogs didn't like the food, and it was a disaster. So after all is said and done, all the data, all the research, all the opinions, all the geniuses, it all comes down to one thing. As an individual with instinct, you can make it happen. But the one thing you can't do is call the shot. Be back in a minute. Continue this show.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Whipper. This is Always in Fashion. In 1998, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Taryn Rose brought comfort to the world of luxury shoes. She was trained as a surgeon and knew that women deserved to feel comfortable in their shoes and developed shoes that were designed to make the human body comfortable. She partnered with design experts and tech innovation to create a collection of shoes that looked beautiful and yet they were incredibly comfortable. Taryn Rose Footwear is about luxurious materials, sophisticated silhouettes, and comfort. They feature innovative comfort technology. Ladies, you want to be comfortable in your shoes. You want to be safe in your shoes. But more importantly, you want to look great in your shoes. Taryn Rose, developed by this brilliant surgeon. The Taryn Rose woman is refined and refuses to sacrifice comfort for style, or for that matter, style for comfort. These shoes are perfect for women who think on their feet, but not about their feet. Discover the latest Taryn Rose collection at TarynRose.com. Taryn Rose, the luxury of comfort.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Mark Weber, this is Business Tonight on our show. We're talking about control. We're talking about taking the shot, but in this crazy, chaotic world we're in, you can't call the shot. Oh, you can plan, You can envision, you can have ideas, you can be directional, you could be whatever you want to be. You could try, you can take that shot, but you can't call the shot. You can't predict the outcome. You could only try. Fate seems to have something to say about all of that, and that's what tonight's show is. But now I want to get back to humans. I want to talk about brands. One of my favorite stories surrounding one of my favorite brands. This is a story of business dynamics. And pay attention. Having a point of view, having a clear-cut picture in your mind of what is right, what is the right course to take your business. You understanding what should be done, even what must be done, and of course, getting it done. What I like particularly about this story is that even though I was the CEO of the company, I couldn't call the shot. And that's the theme of tonight's show. But there is a lesson that's critical to teach. And now we're going to get you there. So hang in there and hold that thought. A little background for a moment. I like Elon Musk. Think about this guy, how he thinks and how his mind works. It's amazing. He's the first guy who really mass-produced and brought electric cars to our lives. What a visionary. What a genius. Really, think about it. Now he's into rocket travel. He wants to put people in Mars, on the moon. He wants to create travel for them.
He's like the real-life Iron Man, like Tony Stark.
Yeah, he is. Now that you think about it, you got to respect him for this. He thinks out of the box. He's off the wall. Great guy. Great guy. Now he's thinking about hyperlinks. Do you know what that is?
Like, to teleport you?
It's kind of like that. They build these tunnels and you go poof, and you're in one place and the other in like seconds.
That's the only power I've always wanted. Teleporting seems like the best thing. Imagine getting to anywhere you want to be in a matter of minutes.
That's amazing. And yet, this guy does all these things. He's such a visionary. And he can't call a shot. They just removed him from the chairmanship of his company because he was very bullish about the stock and they think he misled the shareholders. Insane what's going on. And then, of course, there's another one, Mark Zuckerberg. He created this vision of communication that will never be repeated, although there's another versions that are changed and you're giving pictures and you're pasting things and you're saying sentences in 140 characters. But he was the first and he was extraordinary. And yet he's constantly under the gun and he had no idea where his company would go. And then, of course, we have a president, Donald Trump, CEO. Too many people don't like this man. And you know what? There might be a lot of reasons not to like him. But take a moment and remember that he's doing what he said he would do. He's saying that he wants to get certain things done that no one in the country has ever broached before. It's almost impossible to talk about Donald Trump because the minute you do, so many people do not like the man. But when you separate what this man is from what he's trying to accomplish, that's a whole different story. And I'm fearful that by even taking his side, there's going to be a problem. But I'm also impressed with the fact that this guy never backs down. And all these guys, and think about how hard it is for Donald Trump as president to get anything done. You decide you want immigration reform. I don't think there's anyone who disagrees with immigration reform. I can personally tell you, try and get in any country in the world that requires a visa and get in. Try and get into any country in the world without a passport and not end up in jail. Hey, try and get to Mexico without a passport or rights to get in there through the border correctly. You're in trouble. The point of the story is this guy is trying to get things done. And the point of this night is you can't call the shot. Now, back to my story and a lesson that transcends and goes beyond everything we're talking about. I want to talk about the brand DKNY and the idea for jeans. I was the chairman and CEO of that company for a while, and even with that title, I couldn't call the shot. What do you do when you have an idea, whether you're a clerk or you're a CEO? How do you take your shot? I've talked very often before on this show about the things you need to be successful. We've talked about the way you look, not necessarily whether you're handsome or tall or blonde hair or blue-eyed or great hair or not hair. We're talking about the way you present yourself. Do you dress the best way you can for the body that you have? Are you aware of the styles around you? We talk about Are you well written? Do you know how to write emails? Do you know how to respond? We talk about the way you talk. But I've done a couple of shows where I've said that even more importantly than the way you talk is the way you present your ideas. And that is what separates the men from the boys, the girls from the women. That's what gets your ducks in order, how you present. I was working for this company, and we had rented our jeans business to another company, and they were failing. And I wanted the jeans business back because I thought it would be a huge opportunity for our company. Not only was it a huge opportunity, but the people who were entrusted with this part of our business, the jeans brand, were killing it, and I needed to take it back. Now, if I ran into the management of LVMH based in Paris and said, hey, I want the jeans company back. It's a great product. I like it. And, you know, just tell me yes. There's no way in the world they would have agreed to me. They would agree to do it for me. Yes, I was the CEO, but I couldn't call the shot. But I did know how important the presentation would be. And that's what I want to share with you right now. Once again, this is Mark Weber and Jesse Weber. This is Always in Fashion. This is our business show tonight. We're talking can't call the shot. No matter how well you plan, you're not going to be responsible for the outcome. Fate takes its chance. But if you want to get your shot and take it, right now I'm talking about how important it is to present. I'm talking about me at Donna Karan and DKNY want to buy back my jeans company. The first thing I did was I did research. I hired a company to come in and research how important were jeans to the DKNY brand. I learned something very, very interesting from the data. A huge amount of analysis was done. And while DKNY was this incredible brand, the one question that rang in my head and the one answer that I never, ever forgot, with all the suits, with all the dresses, with all the elegant sportswear for women, the sweaters, the cold shoulder items, all the sexy shoes, all the handbags, all the incredible perfumes and cosmetics, all the pantyhose, tights, and leggings. When you asked young women, or young men for that matter, what they expected to find in a DKNY store, jeans and t-shirts. Fascinating. That's what came out of the research. Now, I would add to that, the jeans business that we lent to a partner and to entrust them with, for 15 years was doing $300 million a year of sales in jeans. When you think about that, that's $15 billion. I got to do that math again.
That's a lot.
Yeah. You made a lot of impressions, so we shouldn't have been surprised. But now I had the data. I had to sell the idea. I got on a plane. I went to visit my friends in Paris, the owners of the company, Louis Vuitton, Moët Hennessy. And I sat down with the president of the company and I told him the following. We are having a great run right now on DKNY. I think you know and I think you agree that everything we promised you we're doing. The business is highly successful now. We're making money. We're having record profits each year. But I've come across a situation that I believe we should deal with. As you know, we've been building our management team. They're very strong, very capable, and I think they're ready and eager to take on more. We have an infrastructure that has the ability to source, manufacture, distribute products. We're as good as anyone at that now. At the moment, we have a partner in jeans that you're well aware of, and they're destroying the jeans business. And if we don't do something dramatically, it won't exist anymore. And furthermore, they're going to ruin the brand. I said, I'd like you to consider the fact that I want to bring back the jeans business in-house to our company. We're equipped to run it. We have the expertise. And I know we can make a success of it. And I'd like you to consider that. I handed him the research. Outlined on the research were a number of very important dynamics for the brand. In addition to what I said about what people expect, it said that DKNY jeans was the entrance point, the DKNY brand for young people. 15 years and up, girls were wearing our jeans. Why? Because they can afford them. They were affordable. Not only that, there was a very, very heavy interest by Hispanics in the United States as well as African Americans. The brand was universal. It was diverse. It was appealing to everyone. And that's what the research said. And I started to sell this concept. And I looked at the president in the eye and I said, listen, It won't be easy the first year, but I promise you by the second year, we're going to be pumping it out, and this is going to be very successful. He said, let me read the research. Let me get back to you. Come back at around 2 o'clock. Let me do all the work in there. I go back at 2 o'clock. There he is, the president of the company, and with its founder, Bernard Arnault. And they looked at me and said, Mark, I see you want to take the jeans business back. I said, yes, I do, sirs. And tell me why. I said, as you know, we've been working very hard in turning around the DKNY business. I think it's behind us. I think we're successful now in the turnaround. We have a very strong management team. And I believe this team can take on more and do this company proud. And this kind of business, I think I could double within 3 years. And I think we could make a lot of money doing it. And I said, you've read the research. There's no question that the brand is integrally involved in jeans and T-shirts and those kinds of products. It's young. It's spirited. It appeals to all Americans. I think we should do it. And they looked at me and said, Mark, we trust you. You've done everything we've asked you to do. And based on the way you've presented this here today, we're going to allow you to get involved and buy back the jeans company. They assigned one of their great young M&A guys, mergers and acquisition fellas, to be my partner in buying back the company we brought it in. And I can tell you, over the course of the next 2 and 3 years, we doubled the business twice. We did extremely well in doing that. Now, what's the point of the story? Tonight, we're talking about can't call the shot. I couldn't tell you for the life of me whether or not the jeans business would come back in-house. I only know that I got my shot to present, and I prepared, and I thought very hard and very long about the presentation I would make. And those of you out here listening to us, remember that it's all in the presentation. You could be one of the great public speakers, but if you don't know how to present your ideas, you won't be successful. In this case, I took my shot, and they called the shot. Back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. I want to talk to you about comfort. Comfort is so important in the clothes we wear. How do I know? Because I spent a lot of years working at Van Heusen with their engineers, with their great people, with their entrepreneur thinking about making clothes that not only look good, but make you feel good. And Van Heusen introduced a series called the Flex Collection. It started in dress shirts where they put this special flex technique in the collar. So as you button your collar and you put your tie on, the collar moves with you. You're never uncomfortable. It's never pulling. It's never making you feel that you wore a shirt that's too short, too small, too anything. It's comfortable, and that's great. Van Heusen went forward and started introducing this revolutionary thinking and technology into a whole range of other products, including sport shirts, polos, fleece zip-up sweaters, and pants. They all give you that 360 special fabric that allows you to move and stretches with you. We're talking about innovative technology that no one has thought of before. The Van Heusen Flex Collection is designed to make you look good, but make you even feel better while you're wearing it. No more uncomfortable clothes. You can say thank you, and I'll say you're welcome.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
There's only two types of people in the world. The ones that entertain and the ones that observe. Well, baby, I put on a show kind of girl. Don't like the backseat, gotta be first. I'm like the ringleader, I call the shots. I'm like a
this is Mark Weber. And Britney Spears is not the only one calling the shot tonight. That's what we're talking about on the show. I know how complicated this world is. I know, and you know, how difficult it is to get things done. We also know that we're up there, we're trying, we're doing everything we can to get through this world, be successful in life, make things better for our family, but no matter what you do, you can't call the shot. You can try, but you can't predict how it's going to happen. You don't have control. We don't have control of whether it's sunny or rainy. We don't have control of anything when you really come down to it. We're lucky. We're balanced on this planet. But what we can do is try. And I want to talk about calling the shots. So far, if you're paying attention, I've talked about doggies and I've talked about business. Now I want to talk about the real world. Do you know, Jesse, what skin in the game means?
Meaning you put something in that you might lose. So you have a...
vested interest.
Vested interest in it.
There you go. For those of you who don't know, in addition to me being your radio host, I also have a consulting practice that Jesse and I are involved in. We have clients who are billion-dollar clients, and we have clients who are just starting out. I don't spend a lot of time with it because of skin in the game. And being that I want to talk a little bit about real-world examples of can't call the shot, let's talk a little bit about skin in the game for a second because it's very viable. I've had a client, billion-dollar CEO, multi-billion, hires me to give him information, help him. And every time I talk to him, he disagrees with me, doesn't want to hear it. And one of the great lines of all time, I want you to write this down and use it in your own life because it's amazing. He's often wrong, but never in doubt. Often wrong, but never in doubt. And then I have clients who are startup companies. Young people with ideas, and they started to build a business, and they get to $10 million, and now they need to know. They need help. How do I get this $10 million to $100 million? And those people, whether it's male or female, want to hear what I have to say. They're so eager to learn. They're so eager to hear what they don't know. They want the help. I often think when I'm on conference calls, I'm listening, I'm getting ready to say something perhaps, or if not, I happen to clear my throat. The entire call goes quiet just by because they think I want to talk and they can't wait to hear what I said. And that's a joy. Whether it's a $10 billion company or a $10 million company, I don't have skin in the game. I give my advice, I disappear. I give my ideas, I disappear. And yes, I'm earning money, but I don't have skin in the game. It's not my decision. And that is very, very frustrating because I can't call the shot. So while I'm on the story of life, now I really want to get personal. I want to tell you a story about my life.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is an easy one, Jesse. This had to do when you and I started playing golf.
A long time ago.
Well, not so long in the scheme of things, but I want to tell a story about can't call the shot. Takes on multiple stories here. I hope you enjoy this. I started playing golf, and I went to public golf courses. One in particular, it's called Lido Golf. 13 of the 18 holes are on the water. It's a public course you can go on and fair rates to play. The only problem was is that you had to go on at 12 o'clock Sunday night, 12 o'clock Sunday night on the computer and book your tee times. It was all computer-driven because they wanted to be fair to everyone, I suppose. And I wasn't doing it 12 o'clock in the morning. And I must tell you, even when I tried that, I ended up with playing golf at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I mean, I want to play in the morning. I couldn't get on. I went out and I tried to meet all the people in the pro shop. You know, I work for a golf company. I offered to supply hats. I did all kinds of things. Hi, guys. How are you? Hey, listen, next week, can you give me a tee time? Nope. I couldn't get on. And I was very, very uncomfortable because I couldn't call the shot. There was no way for me to play on Lido Golf when I wanted to other than computer booking, and I never seemed to be able to get it. Having said that, I decided I was going to join a private club. Now, those of you who don't know me, when I tell you this, you're going to be surprised. In real life, I'm a recluse. I don't necessarily like people. Yeah, let me be more honest than that. I hate people. I've said it before. Let me try that one more time. I don't like humans, but I like people. Jesse always asks me, how could that be, Daddy? What does that mean? The idea of humanity works well for me, and always I find people who stand up and do the right thing. But generally speaking, it's tough to take people. They're so selfish. Maybe it's the this crazy world we live in, dog-eat-dog, survival of the fittest, all vying for the same jobs. I don't know. That's the cynic in me. But I am telling you, I am a recluse by nature. And therefore, joining a club is really peculiar for me because it's all about being social. Except for one person in this particular club. Me. I'm not social. I joined a club. I started going out in the neighborhood and I went to a few different clubs. And as I was walking the tour of each of the clubs, they were looking for members. And kind of like I remember, Jesse, when I took you to college looking for the school to belong, you're kind of sizing them up and they're sizing you up.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You both have to like each other.
Yeah, so I walked through the clubs, the various different ones. You didn't do it with me. I screened them. And, you know, some were unkept well. You know, the grass was not looking good. The cobblestones or the walkways didn't look right. The locker rooms looked shabby. During the course of this investigation, you would hear the people talking. And I would listen. You know, golf, like it or not, is a moneyed sport. They're trying very hard, the PGA and the USGA, to find a way to make it more affordable. And all the public courses in itself are more affordable. You can play a round of golf at a reasonable price for a whole day Saturday. You can buy used golf clubs if you can't afford new ones, and you can play golf. But you go to a golf club, people are generally well-to-do. And back to me being really close, I'll never talk about money. And you listen to these people there. Young guys talking about how much money they have and how successful their business is or how great they are in the jobs. And I literally wanted to throw up. And I tell you the truth. A lot of these clubs I screened were because of those guys talking.
They're the worst of the worst.
Yeah, I just didn't like it. And then I found a club where everyone was successful.
Oh, I thought you were going to... And then I found a club where everybody knows your name.
No. I found a club where everyone was successful. They were a little older, and they were really successful. In fact, I would build a case that I was the poorest one there. I don't know if that's true, but I would also tell you I was one of only the few who were executives who didn't own their business. And I was very, very impressed because when I listened to them talk, they were talking about family. They were talking about golf. That's why we were there, to play golf. I never heard in the hour I was there anyone talk about money. Anything associated with bragging, it was very low-key. And for a reclusive guy like me, who's really very quiet, I joined the club. We played there. We've been there for a lot of years now. It's a great club. The people are, as I said, well-to-do. And I found my home there, and the boys like it. But this successful club, all of a sudden one day I'm playing golf on a Sunday, and actually I'm playing with a stranger. By stranger, I mean I know who he is. He's just not one of my sons who we usually play together. And he starts to talk, and he says the club is in trouble. I said, what do you mean the club is in trouble? I said, well, we're having some financial issues. We lost some members. I said to him, it's impossible. Everybody here is smart. They're all business. How could it be? He said, well, we're having some trouble. I was shocked. I was shocked. I'd expect it anywhere else except in this place. They're all lawyers, real estate people. They're really smart people, all members. All, you know, go look at the cars on the parking lot. You'll see what I mean. I was flabbergasted that this particular club could have problems. I never thought about it. So what happened was the board meeting was coming up, and I decided to go to the board meeting. First time ever, Mark Weber shows up at the board meeting. I sit myself in the back of the room like school. You know, like one of those guys.
Yeah, you didn't want to get called on.
Yeah, I don't want to get called on. I don't want anything to do with it. And I sit there and I listen. The board presents and they talk about all the problems. And then they have a tradition where they have a podium and any member of the club can stand up and ask questions. And what happened was various different members got up to the podium and started to talk about the things they were unhappy with. And what I noticed, of course, that there were different silos in the club. There are different groups. There were groups that thought it was very important as a social club. There are people that thought it was very important as a golf club. A lot of the members came from New York. They lived in the city. When they wanted to play golf on the weekend, they came to play golf. And that's all that was important to them. And there were people there who went for lunches and dinners. They were called house members. But all three didn't agree on what was important for the future of the club, and all three were complaining about different things. But the entire place agreed that there were financial issues and there was a problem. And it was driving me crazy on two fronts. One, that how could these people, all these businessmen and women who are so successful in their private lives, who belong to this club, who pay dues, who have a board made up from the people within, have financial problems. I just didn't understand it. But what bothered me even more, they were kicking the can down the road. Everything they talked about, they'll deal with later, they'll deal with later, they'll deal with later while the club is spinning downward. I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. And for the first time ever, I stood up I walked to the microphone and I started to talk. People were flabbergasted because I've been there a while. No one ever heard me talk. Nobody ever saw me talk to anybody other than whether I was sitting next to them on a golf cart playing golf. I'd just be with my family. Nobody knows me. So I stood up and I said the following. None of you know me here. My name is Mark Weber and I could actually speak. And I said, it's bothering me listening to all of you. First of all, I must tell you, you don't know me. I've had a successful career. I presume I'm the poorest person in this club, so I can't imagine for the life of me how this club could be in trouble. What we're talking about, the problems, are schmuck money. By the way, I became famous for that saying. I said, these are not real dollars, and you're carrying on like this is big money and this is important. This is schmuck money. Everybody started to laugh and they're listening and you could see the whispering. They never heard me talk. I said, I don't understand what's going on here. All of you know I never speak. I don't know any of you. I know you know my sons. They're more sociable than me. But I belong to this club. I take it seriously. I love the place. I enjoy coming here. The service is extraordinary. The workers and the staff here are amazing. They don't deserve to be standing here listening to us talking about a club that's floundering. You're all too smart for this. And frankly speaking, you're kicking the can down the road. You've got a problem here. Let's deal with it now. I don't want to hear about next year. I don't want the sword of Damocles hanging over my head. I want to know this club is safe and sound, as you do. So why don't we sit down in a room and tell us what the problems are? And let's come up with some solutions. I can't accept this club not being successful. You tell me what I have to do. You tell me I have to make a contribution. I'll be a special member. I'll make a contribution. Tell me what I need to do to fix this. Because I don't like living this way. And you don't either. I ended my speech to a round of applause.
I remember you telling me that. That was amazing. They're like, who is this guy?
Yeah. Now, after the applause, the meeting kind of broke up and all the people different coming over to me. I don't know you. I never heard you speak. I didn't know you could talk. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm the one that said, listen, forget this. Listen to my radio show. And the bottom line is, I just went to a board meeting last week, a year later. The club is still in trouble. They're still kicking the hand down the road. They still haven't made any decisions. I still stood up at the podium and I realized that I couldn't call the shot. The theme of tonight's show. Be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
DKNY, you want to talk about a brand that is powerful? Why is a brand powerful? I'll tell you why. Because of its history. DKNY menswear has been out there for over 30 years. It's one of the best, most innovative fashion brands, modern brands representing the city of New York. The colors have always been sophisticated to make guys look like they understand fashion and they look great in the clothes. His shirts, ties, suits, everything really looks like New York City. The entire collection of DKNY includes a broad range of categories, including sportswear, tailored clothing, dress shirts, neckwear, and shoes. All DKNY menswear lives under one roof, exclusively at Macy's and Macy's.com. I tell you, folks, when I'm on my way to do this show, Always in Fashion, your host here, Mark Weber, never fails to stop in the DKNY boutique at Macy's on 34th Street. I also shop them in my home area in Long Island. They always look good. I always know when I want to go out at night, I can put on DKNY and I'm going to look incredible. And I just tell you this, not because it's my brand, not because they're my advertisers, because I wear it. You know I was at the company. They are an outstanding team of designers who bring the New York City look to the world. Nothing's more modern and contemporary than DKNY. You want to look amazing? Get those very special, solution-driven pieces for the moments when real life and style interact. DKNY. I promise you, you're going to look spectacular.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Thank you. This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. This is our show talking about you can't take the shot. I never wanted this for you, but here I am. I want to talk to you now about The Godfather. Why, you might ask. Well, tonight we're talking about you can't take the shot, and I'm not literally talking about shooting. That's for the movies. This is for real life. And I want to talk to you about taking your shot. If you ask me why I've had some success, I could say I've thought a great deal about it. I talk about it every time we do the show. And I list for you many of the things. You have to look good, present good, talk good. You have to have a good personality. You have to have the right attitude, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's something else. I played the Godfather because of the symbol of the Godfather. If you look at the symbol of the Godfather, you know what it is, Jesse, right?
It's the hand holding the marionette strings. Like
yeah,
a puppet.
Those of you, what?
Like a puppet.
Yeah. And if you ask me, I talk about this in my book, Always in Fashion, if you're interested. I should tell you, by the way, I got the largest royalty check I've ever gotten for that book this past month compared to when I first began. A lot of people on the radio are listening. You should buy the book. It's very interesting. It teaches a lot of lessons on how you might be successful. Maybe at the same time, I'm funny. I'm not trying to sell books. I'm trying to get you to become listeners. But anyway.
Anyway, it's $24.99 on Amazon.
Is that what it costs now?
No, it's much less.
Yeah, it's discounted now. What am I, a markdown? I'm a luxury
guy.
Well,
$24.99 is a lot. I think that's for a big paperback book. It's probably like $12.99.
Yeah, online. You could also download it through your iPhone. But anyway. The point of the story is I was enamored with that logo. I looked at it. I never thought about it, really. And then one day it hit me. The Godfather is holding the strings, and everyone around him is a puppet. And as I started to grow up in business, I realized when that movie came out, and I examined that thing over and over and over again, and then I realized what the logo meant, I didn't want to be a puppet. I realized every day of my young working life, someone was holding that string and I was dancing at the bottom of those strings, just like a puppet. Somebody else was telling me what to do. Somebody else was directing my career. Somebody else was in control of me. I couldn't call the shot, the theme of tonight's show. Now, what changed? What changed? I will tell you, other than being smart, being personable, I will tell you the single most important thing in my career that I can look back and say helped to make me successful. Aside from that logo of the marionette, it's what it meant to me and what it told me to do. And I'll tell you what I did. Somewhere during that period, I realized that there were too many people around me who knew more than I did. There was nothing wrong with that. It's only to be understood. You work next to people who have different jobs. They know those jobs that you don't know because they're their jobs. Whenever the bosses would talk, I would always get outvoted because they had more information than me. If I was talking about what price I wanted a sweater to be or what price I thought a shirt should be or what this particular pair of pants should be made of, they understood the costing structure. They understood the properties of the fabrics that the pants should be made out of. They understood where it should be manufactured. They understood the totality of the system, and I didn't. And it's at that time that I realized that if I wanted to be a success, I needed to learn all the disciplines of our business. I began in design. I was a pretty good designer. I was okay. You know, I had a good eye for fashion. After all, I am in the fashion business. That's what I was. But I also realized all the things I didn't understand. I knew nothing about the costing. I knew nothing about manufacturing. I knew nothing about the financial area. I knew nothing about warehouse and distribution. I knew nothing about IT, information technology. I knew nothing about anything except the small, narrow world that I was becoming expertise in. And I realized that I needed to expand into all those other areas. And I made it a point, whether asking for assignments in those areas, whether meeting people and spending time with them and hearing what they do, I was fortunate In my first 25 years of working, I had 25 different assignments, always in something else. And by the time I was important to a company, I knew it all. I learned, and the more I learned, the more important I became. Sure, I could have been successful as a designer, product developer, but because I learned other disciplines, I learned more and more and more. So, why am I telling you this story tonight? So the more I think about it, and the more I think about your success, I want to encourage you to remember that the more you learn, the more driven you are, the more curious you are, the more opportunities you take to learn those disciplines you're surrounded by that either don't interest you, I don't care, or you're not familiar with, I do care, you should go out of your way to learn them. If you're sitting next to someone in procurement, learn where they buy the product. Learn why they spend what they spend for it. How could a designer be a good designer if they don't know what their product should cost or what it does cost? If you add a particular trim to an item, shouldn't you know what it's going to cost? You're not vapid. You have to have these things. They have to be second nature to you. If you do those things I'm suggesting, you'll call the shot. Be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And my favorite shoe brand, Acquitalia. Acquitalia is a very interesting shoe brand. Made in Italy. That's where the Talia comes from. And Acqua, they're waterproof. This is a collection of men's and women's shoes that are not only contemporary and styled brilliantly, but they're also waterproof. So you guys and gals, you don't have to change your shoes in inclement weather. And I should tell you how comfortable they are. Not only are they fashion style right, but they're comfortable. You can wear them wherever you go. Acquitalia designs are contemporary, yet there's a classic feel to them. They're easy to wear. They're elegant, yet they're for every day. High quality and low maintenance. The true foundation of timeless wardrobe. Something you could wear every day and not worry about it. Acquitalia is footwear that is made for discerning men and women who make bold moves and want to look their best without sacrificing fashion or comfort. You should explore the latest collection of Acquitalia.com. Acquitalia has amazing styles, beautiful fabrics, beautiful silhouettes. You should really look for them. You can find and explore Acquitalia's latest collection at Acquitalia.com or visit the flagship store at 965 Madison Avenue in Manhattan. Acquitalia, Acquitalia, wherever the weather goes, they will take you. Made in Italy and waterproof, the best combination.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
I don't blame it on the sunshine. I don't blame it on the moonlight. I don't blame it on the good times. Coming on a boogie. Don't you blame it on the sunshine. Don't blame it on the moonlight. I just can't control my feet. I just can't control my feet.
This is Mark Weber, and I don't know if I control what's around me. People all over the world are dealing with chaos at different levels. We think we're in control, we're not. The earth is spinning on its axis. It's moving as we sit here and talk. You don't feel it. You don't control it. You're part of this world. You can take your shot, but you can't control your shot. Tonight I'm talking about the various different disciplines that are involved in life, in business. You want to be in control of your career. You want to be in control of your life. You're dealing with all kinds of people. Sometimes people are frankly stupid and focused on the wrong side of an argument. Sometimes people are in indefensible positions that don't make any sense at all. But you can have a point of view. You could see the writing on the wall. You could present irrefutable evidence and have all the details to support your ideas. But sometimes you still can't call the shot. You may be a visionary. You may be just be smart. You may be one of those people who see what other people can't see, and you go for it. You can improve your chances. You can get things done. You can and win some. You can change the dynamics in your future. You can change the world. But in the end, you can't call the shot. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We'll be back soon.
Don't blame it on the moonlight. Don't blame it on the good times. Blame it on a boogie. Don't you blame it on the sunshine. Don't blame it on the moonlight. Don't blame it on the good times. Blame it on a boogie. Woo! I just can't control my feet.
Thank you for joining Mark Weber and Always in Fashion. Tune in tomorrow at 5 p.m. This show was sponsored by G3 Apparel and the Van Heusen Company. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.